Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello.
Hey, bazitches.
Oh, wow. That's so unlike you.
Me? Which me?
No, the other guy.
Oh. Him.
Yeah, oh. Him.
What's happening?
Well, we're back. We're back!
Don't do that. We might get sued.
Well, we'll just leave Sue out of this. We'll deal with, like, Michelle or something. But anyway, this is Rich Wilgus.
And Papa John Tellerico.
And you have tuned in to, what's our number on the, like, the dial?
99.9.
All right. You've tuned in to 99.9 on your ZM dial. I don't know what that means.
What the hell are you talking about?
Know. I'm just trying to make some sort of radio association.
Yeah, this is nothing like radio. It's exactly like radio, but nothing like it at all.
Actually, there's truth to both of those statements.
Yep. So what's new? What's happening? What's new?
Well, I've got no Tour de France news.
Yeah, but we have fewer superheroes on the docket.
We do. So John and I have been thinking about talking about the show. What's it called? So You Think You're a Superhero?
Who Wants to Be a
Who
Superhero?
Wants to Be a Superhero? So You Think You Want to Be a Superhero?
Yeah.
It's on Sci-Fi Channel, Thursdays at 9.
Yep.
Started out with about a dozen superheroes, and we're down to three, I think.
Big Fat Mama.
Feedback.
Feedback, the guy who's a little bit mentally unstable.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about his issues on the last show.
Yeah.
And Major Victory, the guy that's got my vote to win.
Oh, really? You're still picking Major Victory?
I'm picking Major Victory. I mean, it's going to get down to feedback and Major
Lemuria,
Victory.
Who? Oh, yeah, there's also Lemuria.
No, she got eliminated.
She got canned?
Yeah, apparently Stan Lee is not a breast man.
Oh, I didn't see her get canned.
Yeah, they did. Didn't you see the last? Well, let's talk about this, actually.
Okay.
This is a reality show. It started out with like a dozen people. And apparently if you win, Stan Lee from Marvel Comics puts you through some trials and tribulations. And if you win, he makes a comic book for you and you get a movie or something.
Yeah,
on,
like a made-for-TV movie on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
I thought you had something to add.
No, I was just saying that the last time I saw it, there were four left. I didn't see the fifth one get canned, or the third,
whatever.
Yeah.
There were five, Lemuria. And then it went to four, and then it went to three. Who got eliminated first in that show?
Creature,
that's right. She got eliminated because she was a litter bug. She was like some...
Jaywalking, too.
Yeah, that's right. She was littering, and she was jaywalking. I don't know. You could go to sci-fi channel / superhero, sci-fi.com/superhero, mm-hmm. and see all the people who started out. But this is kind of... it entertained me, because it's sort of a reality show for the rest of us. I could really care less about... Survivor and Donald Trump and all that other crap. All that show with Trump is just about his ego. You know, it's about everybody just stroking him, and it's just like, you know what?
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah, right. It's of Mr. Trump. Yes, sir. Whatever.
Well, they're doing that to Stan Lee too, but
they are. But it's not. I don't get the sense that Stan Lee has a gigantic ego.
Well, he certainly doesn't have hair.
No, he doesn't. He's you know, a pretty diminutive guy in general, except for the gigantic screen they always project him on.
That's right. He's got a big voice.
Yeah, so let's see. Who got eliminated? Creature got eliminated, and then they eliminated Lemuria. You didn't see the last shtick, the last stunt he made them do?
No, I must have missed that.
The second stunt in that episode was to go up to whatever prison, some prison, and there was like a chain gang. Working on the outside, a la Cool Hand Luke.
Yep, I saw that, but I didn't see the cut.
Yeah, the cut was at the very end. And did you see them talking to the prisoners and doing all the stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lemuria was trying to sit on that very angry woman's lap. That was her thing to do. She had to sit on her lap, and she just went for it and just failed miserably. Of course, those people had to be actors.
Absolutely.
There's no way they're letting a four-time murderer out of his handcuffs to hug feedback. His thing was to get three hugs or something. And
yeah, they had these secret tasks that they had to perform.
Right. Each woman remaining superhero contestant had to interact with a female prisoner, and each remaining guy superhero contestant had to interact with a guy prisoner.
Right.
Because it involves some touching. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Fat Mama. She was
that is actually her name, by the way. We're not casting aspersions at anyone or anything.
No, and she's we found out that maybe she's not so proud of her weight, but she wears the donuts hanging off of her costume.
She has like exploding donuts on her bat belt or something.
Yeah, she said she can actually increase her size. But yeah, she had this task where she had to brush the hair aside from this
very angry woman's face.
Very angry woman's face 3 times.
And she did it.
Yeah.
That woman I believed though. That woman totally convinced me she could have been a prisoner. She had all that inner anger. I didn't believe the big guy when feedback asked for a hug and there was the pregnant pause and then the big prisoner put out his arms for a hug. I just don't see that happening, you know?
Yeah, and then so that was the one thing where they had to interact with these prisoners. The other thing was they just went and did their superhero-ly thing around the city and they were videotaped, and then they showed some of these secret clips and...
they caught people doing unsuperhero-y things.
Yeah, but I thought that section was kind of lame.
It was
too,
totally lame.
Because Major Victory, he got called on the mat because he took his cape off.
Right. Well, but the whole thing being they're tying it into his being a former male stripper. Apparently he likes to take his clothes off. But that's kind of lame. He put his cape down so a lady could walk across the street, you know, the old lay the jacket in the puddle thing, you know?
Yeah, but he almost tripped her with it.
And then he wrapped it around her neck and dragged her across the street, but that's something else. They didn't show that video clip.
Fat Mama, she was actually pretty funny because there was someone giving a ticket, one of the traffic cops giving a ticket to someone who was parked illegally, and the traffic cop himself was parked illegally. So he was calling out and saying, how can you do that? You know, being hypocritical.
I'm not even sure if he was a traffic cop. I think he was kind of like the male version of a meter maid. You know, I think he drives one of the, like the little trikes around with the little Lexan windscreen in the front. And his job is just to give parking tickets, you know?
Yeah. And then Creature, she was picking up litter or making other people pick up litter. And then she was going to buy clothes for the homeless.
Right.
But she was jaywalking.
She was out of the white lines. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah. So she got canned from being a superhero because she was jaywalking.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they showed footage of these people's families, like totally narking them out, too.
Right.
You know, explaining that, you know, she isn't as environmentally friendly or wasn't at one point. But... what's the big deal with that? She made a choice after that to change her life. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all make choices and make changes. And you can't say just because someone is good now and, you know, you're clearly bad because you once did this. I mean, you know, that's just, I mean, he was really reaching on that segment.
Well, I really hope that the next segment, what they do is they eliminate people by seeing who can stop a real bullet.
That might be a good one.
Yeah, just stand them up and shoot at them and see who can live.
Here's the thing that really killed me about that episode. You know, Stan Lee's down to three. He's down to Fat Mama, Feedback, and Major Victory. And the only two of the three that actually look like superheroes are Feedback and Major Victory, which is why it's going to go down to those two guys. And Stan Lee's complimenting them, and they're crying, and I'm just not feeling it. I totally was not feeling it, you know? Although, I can kind of see where Feedback's coming from a little bit. I guess his dad had committed suicide. If any of this is real, his dad had committed suicide when he was young, the real person inside the Feedback suit. And he claimed he got his moral direction, his moral compass from Spider-Man in Marvel Comics. And I guess if you need a moral compass, superheroes are a good thing to kind of glom onto, you know?
Sure, traffic cops too.
Yeah, no. Not police at all. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of what the show's about. It's got to be the final one, the next one, I would think, because if they do two eliminations, they're down to the finals.
They got to duke it out. They have to have something serious. None of this
crap. Cage match? Celebrity death match?
It was kind of lame and a bit of a letdown this week.
That one was. The one where they made him walk across the plank and
they
were walking over like a street, like high in the air, that was a good one because whether they were walking over a high height or not, they thought they were.
They
still had to overcome the fear of heights. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I thought I was walking 40 feet up. You know, that's just insane.
Yeah, and I also like some of the challenges where they're trying to see what kind of character these people have. It's not just, you know, can you outsmart the other guy like these other reality shows?
Right.
But, yeah.
Or out-manipulate or out-calculate them. Calculating
the
in a bad way, you know. Being totally phony and whatnot.
Although that would be pretty good, too. You know, if you put a blackboard up there and gave them math problems.
That would be a good one. A reality show for, like, calculus and advanced mathematics, you know? Speaking of advanced mathematics, did you see that the Poincaré conjecture has been solved?
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, it's believed to be solved. They're going to take their time. Oop. They're going to take their time and they're going to make sure that it's solved. But this Russian guy whose name I forgot, this very elusive sort of... mathematician who, like, he throws parts of proofs out into the mainstream, and then he goes and lives in a cabin in the woods, and nobody can find him again. He threw out what is basically the, what's the word I want to say, sort of the outline of the proof, and he put it on the rest of the mathematical world to kind of explain and fill in the few details that he didn't want to do. And they're, you know, they've got a 490-page proof, which actually this particular Poincaré conjecture is in three dimensions. It's already been proved in four and more. So the hardest one to prove apparently was in three dimensions, and that's what this guy did. So he'll win a Fields Medal and all this money, and he won't show up. He's famous for doing that, and I can't remember his name.
Was he working as a janitor at MIT?
No, he wasn't. Solving blackboard problems and getting yelled at. That was a good movie, though.
Yeah. Well, all is right with the world, at least.
Why? Because the Yankees are in first place?
The Yankees are in first place.
And so they are the Mets, actually.
And they just took the third game of a five-game series from the Red Sox today. They played a doubleheader yesterday, and they're playing again today. And as we speak, they've won.
They've won, or they've two?
They've threed.
Hmm.
Yep,
well, so. Down in, you know, Boston's not going to lay down.
No, because that's not part of the game.
Well,
laying down.
Golf. That's in golf. I mean, there's
tennis.
Got like these tanning beds in the back of the golf carts, and you.
No, but yeah, I'm going to be going to the very last Boston Red Sox Yankees game of the entire 2006.
I got a buck that says Boston wins.
I'll take that bet.
All right. We're on it. You know, another last little bit of our intro here. I saw something. It was a radio talk show. I heard something, rather. And it was one of these medical guys or something, and he was talking about how because of this new, like, senior citizens plan that Bush just signed into law, you're better off taking, what do you call it, the cheaper drugs, the...
Generics.
The generics, because once you you kind of have, like, a...
The deductible?
Yeah, it's sort of like that. You know, they'll pay up to this number, and then it's sort of like the opposite of a deductible. This plan pays, but once you reach that number, you have to pay. So it's better to use generics because they're going to be cheaper.
Right.
And he was talking about how you really have to ask your doctor to use generics because, you know, they get wined and dined by the pharmaceutical companies, and doctors might be a little more likely to write you a script for the non-generics. And I mean, everybody throws around these euphemisms, you know, but let's just, I want to say it right here and now, damn it. Those are bribes, you know, they're just legal bribes. They throw around all these euphemisms. I mean, it's just like...
It's like payola is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and how is that different in Congress? You know, you got these people making campaign contributions,
yep,
and they talk about them being contributions. They're just legal bribes. And I think it's about time, you know, we started saying that. Anyway, that's what pissed me off yesterday, and I wanted to just say it out loud.
As far as I know, all my dad got was free pens and pads.
He did get those. Are cool though. They do have some really
tons of them. I never had to buy a pen when I was in high school.
I'm a little confused about that pill shaped swimming pool in the backyard of your dad's house over there in east of Utica.
You know, whenever he met in public, he always had to wear the baseball hat that said Pfizer on it or something.
The Pfizer visor.
Yeah, he also had a car that said Viagra on the side of it.
It was a giant car.
It was a giant blue car.
I've seen those.
Oh, wait, no, that was the NASCAR guy.
That's... Yeah, Star Jones is driving that, isn't she? Sorry.
All right, we're done.
We kid the NASCAR. Oh, so we got a tune, and this John discovered this.
Yes, I discovered this by clicking randomly.
On the PodSave Music Network, and both, I mean, if we were like cats, both of our ears like popped up, you know, almost as if they were on Viagra.
And if I was a dog, my head was tilted sideways, and I was trying to figure out what was happening. But I'm just going to play it, and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, should we say the name or just play it?
No, I'm just playing it.
All right, just play it.
Paranoid. come back from a full-fledger, and the cat's on the table eating your food. Remember to be nice. Even when the guy cuts in line at 7-Eleven, because he needs change for the parking meter, and $200 worth of lottery tickets. Remember to be nice. Even when you're stranded in the desert and a cowardly guy grabs the canteen from the little kid, spilling it all over his face and his shirt. Cause right when you're cooking his ass for dinner, the rescue copter always shows up to save you.
Remember to be nice. I think the message in that song is.
That's right, because the rescue copter always comes and just messes you up. So that was who?
That was After Them with Remember.
A song called Remember. And, you know, we clicked on that, and seriously, both John and my ears kind of like perked up, and that's the kind of music we're looking for. You know, we play a lot of pretty common stuff on the show sometimes when we run out of really cool progressive stuff to play. You know, we actually play stuff in 4/4 sometimes with
occasionally.
Yeah, and that to me is an interesting piece of music. It was in the experimental rock section of PodSafe Music Network, but I wouldn't have minded if they said that was in prog rock or something.
Yeah, it probably could go into the prog rock section.
Had kind of like a almost, I don't know if he was playing Chapman stick and doing a lot of tapping on there, but you know, that's a cool song. Strong piece of music. What do you think, Todd? Fire on over to our forum, Mr. Alien Spore Bomb, and let us know what you thought of that track, because that's for you.
No, I'm waiting. I want to hear a response now.
Wait. Nothing. Figured we'd hear him yelling from
Lamer.
Minnesota. I know. He's so, yeah, well, you know.
Anyways, so it's meme time.
We're doing another one because Rich didn't get to watch KKBB, otherwise known as Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes, but you also have another week to do your homework.
Well, it arrived today. I just signed up for that like crazy Blockbuster thing.
Cool.
Get him in the mail.
But you know what? We're going to have to assign extra credit, though, because your score is really going down.
I don't know what that means.
Homework.
Oh.
You didn't do your homework. You're getting docked for that.
I'm going to do it. There was no date given. If you go back to that episode, I don't recall a date.
Yeah. Anyways, it's meme time.
Yep.
This meme is all about memory, and I'm doing this one from memory.
I want to talk about the Blockbuster thing really briefly, though, you know, because I started thinking about what an efficient video delivery method that is. I actually wanted to go with the other guys.
Netflix.
Netflix, because they sort of invented it, and I wanted to reward them for coming up with that interesting business model. But at the end of the day, their tiers, their plans, the different plateaus they have are identical, of course.
Right, and they're having a price war now, too.
Because they can go to each other's websites.
That's true.
And the reason I went with Blockbuster was because they give you a couple of free coupons.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually doubling the amount of videos I can rent for the same price. And since Netflix doesn't have any brick-and-mortar stores, they couldn't do that.
No, but actually Amazon's going to be doing a deal, not rentals yet, I don't think, but they're going to be doing a deal where you can purchase videos online and just download them.
Oh, okay.
And iTunes is working on a rental system where you just pay for a rental and you just download it and watch it on your PC.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or Mac.
That's a big download.
Well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad when you think about it.
Well, it's bad. I don't want to do it. I'd much rather get one in the mail, you know?
But I think that they're going to be doing a deal where you put stuff in a queue and it will download when you're not waiting for it.
You know? I understand that. Obviously, I'm not going to sit around and actually watch the thing download and go, is it shoop yet? Are we there yet? Yeah. Shut up. Only, don't make me stop this car.
Only 3 gigs are down. Can't watch it. No, I think that it's getting there, though. Once we go to Internet Part 2, which is going to be the major broadband.
Yeah. Everybody's got fiber hooked into their brain. Well, I was talking about what an efficient model for delivering videos the mail is, because that infrastructure is already in place. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, okay, so a mailman, on average, if every mailman had one of these in their bag, the amount of weight that they have in their truck and the amount of extra fuel consumption is it's not even measurable. So it's such a remarkably efficient way to deliver videos. It's whoever, you know, I don't know if it actually was those guys who thought of it, the Netflix guys, but it's genius.
Well,
genius, brilliant.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong here, you included, but I think that what they've even done is they've worked with the mail carriers or the post office.
They probably got postage down, yeah.
So what they do is that they actually know how to route these things between customers or between or they mark them as being received before they even get to the Netflix distribution center. The post office notifies Netflix that these things have been received. And Blockbuster, because they've got the brick and mortar stores, if you look at
Glass, too.
Yeah, that's right. Brick, mortar, glass, rubber, plastic, cement. If you look at the address that you're getting these things from, it's probably coming directly from one of the stores that's close to you. So,
yeah, I didn't actually look. I got it today, but I'll look.
Yeah, they're very efficient. You get an email that says that your item has been shipped off of your queue.
It's brilliant, and it's great because if somebody lives in the East Cupcake, Allatucky, they can't just drive to a store.
East Cupcake?
Allatucky.
I don't even know what that means.
Let's just say...
I've heard East Bum whatever,
The middle of nowhere, man. It's just a good idea, and I'm looking forward to it. And if we do get snowed in this winter, I will watch The Sopranos. I'll watch all
there
five seasons over the winter. But anyway...
We'll review every single episode.
we could do that. So let's do the meme thing. It's all you, man.
Meme time. This is from memory. But you're going to go first, and I'll respond.
I went first last time.
No, that's okay. You can start.
All right. The questions are... There were 4 questions, thankfully, because this show cannot go 1 hour. I believe the 4 questions were one of the earliest memories you have as a child, a special memory about someone special other than your parents, a favorite game as a child, and a memorable trip from your youth.
Ute.
What is a ute?
So this is all about memories. And like I said, Rich can attest to this. I've got no paper in front of me. Please, no wagering.
Your mileage may vary. Earliest memory of a child. Well, I have 2. And I have a problem because I don't know if one of them is real.
The alien thing with the probing?
No. No. The World's Fair and Expo in 1967 was in Montreal. That was like one of the first times they built
You did the butter sculpture there?
No. They did. That's the New York State Fair.
Oh.
And the last time I was at the New York State Fair, the butter sculpture was Daryl Strawberry. So that tells you, honestly, that tells you how long it's been since I've been to the New York State Fair.
I almost had wine come out of my nose.
He was. He was actually a butter sculpture 1 year. Daryl Strawberry.
Maybe it was actually
tax
him inside
evader
the butter.
And wife beater.
Wow.
So anyways. The 67 World's Fair and Expo was held in Montreal, and that was one of the first, I believe, buildings, the geodesic ball thing, like they have at Epcot, the whole Bucky ball thing. And that one later burned. But, after they have World's Fairs and Expos, they keep the parks open,
mm-hmm.
even after the year, and countries still keep their exhibitions going, not as many people, not as fancy. And it had to be the late 60s, but we went there as a family, and I remember being in the baby carriage, being pushed around at the Montreal World's Fair and Expo grounds. And that's about all I remember. But my problem with this one is that my dad was a master of taking pictures and showing slideshows. So you see where I'm going here.
You may have had this memory implanted.
This memory may have been planted from the slideshows. It seems so real to me, but anytime company came over, dad had to break out the slideshows. He's like Clark Griswold. He really is. And
was he wearing his Bermuda shorts with black socks?
My dad's not a shorts guy.
Oh.
No. He's a Mopar muscle car guy, and he wouldn't wear shorts. They just don't do that.
Was he wearing a white T-shirt with a pack of smokes rolled up in the
sleeve? Well, he did admit to smoking in high school, but he never really, that the habit never stuck. So, yeah, I think I was at the World's Fair and Expo grounds in Montreal on or about 1969 and being pushed around in a baby carriage.
How old would you have been?
I was born in 1966. As hard as it is for everyone who's been to the website and seen my photograph to believe I'm 40 years old, I am.
old bastard. You're a dirty old bastard.
Yep. The other memory I have, and this one absolutely is real. Wait a minute. No, it absolutely is real. And it's sort of interesting because it ties into a movie that's out now. I remember either in the late 60s or early 70s being in New York City visiting family members. We used to have a lot of family who lived in Queens and in Brooklyn and whatnot. I remember seeing the unfinished Twin Towers.
Really?
Yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. I have a memory of seeing the unfinished Twin Towers. I think they started construction of those around 66. And so I can't actually pinpoint the year that I was there, but it was somewhere between, you know, when I was born and now. And in that period, the Twin Towers were unfinished.
It was probably before 2001, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So what's your number one?
My number one is... I think I was about 2 years old.
And how old are you now?
Older than two.
Hey, I gave it up. You got to give it up.
I'm 36.
All right.
Going on 37.
I'm 4 years older than you. I thought we were a little closer than that.
Oh, mentally,
and
maybe.
The funny thing is he's grayer than me.
Yeah, much. I think I was 2 years old because I was told that we took a trip to Florida. And I remember distinctly playing as a two-year-old with this faucet at some campground. You know those faucets that you have at one of your campsites? You know, you drive in, you park, and they've got like a – each site has like a water
like
spigot.
A hookup?
Yeah, like a water spigot there. And I had one of those plastic rockets that you fill up with water, and you pump them, and they launch – with
yeah,
water.
I remember those. Those were great. And you don't even put a little water in. You put a little water in.
Yeah.
But just that ejected mass is
That's
enough
right.
to propel them up. They're really cool.
I remember playing with those.
Those go pretty high, too.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I used to have those. Me and my brother used to launch those like crazy.
Now the
You
cool
just made me remember that.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And I know that this was a memory. This wasn't implanted because I remember...
Well, were you ever at one of my slideshows? I mean, that's the question.
I don't remember your dad either. But I remember this... And I remember the rockets. I remember the water hookup. I remember,
were they red glare?
No.
Oh.
But I think the rocket was red.
Red. Mine were red and white. It had clear plastic on it.
And this one was shaped like an Apollo rocket.
Like a Saturn V?
Like a Saturn V.
Okay.
It was a fairly big one. Well, I was two, so it may have been small.
Right. Those senses of scale change.
Right. And I remember having this big wide-brim white hat, like a sun hat, like little kids had back then. No dresses and all that stuff. But then, years later, I found a box of photographs in a closet at my parents' house, and I found a picture of me with that white hat playing next to one of these water spigot things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was very cool, but no rocket to be found anywhere. So that's why I know that the memory is real, because I remember playing with the rocket at that.
Right.
And I have another one. I mean, this isn't the first, that was the earliest memory I think I can come up with, but this is another weird memory that I've got. I don't remember anything from the time of that two-year-old incident in Florida till this other memory, which when I was in kindergarten. I don't remember anything between then, but I do remember getting off the bus in kindergarten and sort of just saying, how long have I been doing this? Like, I knew that I was having this routine where getting off the bus, going to school, waiting
Gus.
For... Yeah, that's right. Waiting for the bell to ring and going into class. I was
Stan.
Out, I was...
That didn't rhyme.
Keely. So I'm...
Roy.
This is going nowhere. But I remember being like in the crowd of kids, having like this awakening, like realizing that I'm aware of who I am, what I'm doing. And from then on, I've always been aware of my surroundings.
John is self-aware. We'd like to make that statement now.
It was like one of those things where I just was aware of myself and aware of what I was doing. It was just a weird thing.
I have a consolation one of these too, and this is a real
consolation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like when you lose on Wheel of Fortune and they give you the
Rice-a-roni,
the pencil sharpener / ice cream maker for $100,000. One of my memories, one of my older memories, was from 72 or before, 71 or 72. I remember it was either Apollo 15, 16, or 17 because they were J missions that had the rover with the camera attached, and they would drive the rover away so you could watch.
They were doing
the
donuts
craft
on the moon.
They did, actually. And you could watch the lunar module, the ascent module, take off to go dock with the command module. You could actually see it take off because they brought the camera on the rover. And I
flying up.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember seeing that. I remember somebody calling me to the TV saying, oh, watch this. This is cool.
That is cool.
So that would have been around 72. Okay. Special memory about someone special. Is that redundant?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I didn't write it.
These are food associated memories, like food related memories, because I have two really cool aunts, one on each side of my family.
You were hit with a baguette.
Yes. And my Aunt Guy, who was like my favorite aunt ever, she died about a year ago. She was my dad's. She's my great aunt. She's actually my dad's aunt because my dad had no siblings.
Pierogi master.
Oh, boy, is she or was she? And, you know, she cooked all this great food and we'd go over there and she was always cooking. I was a meat eater, of course, when I was a youngster. And the guwumpki, you know, the meat filled cabbage. Lots of Eastern European cultures have versions of that of their own name. But in Polish, they're guwumpki. I think it's spelled G-O-L-A-B-K-I. And so Aunt Guy was always making lots of cool stuff to eat. And we would go over there on Sundays from when I was a child up until, you know, she died practically. You know, she was always making cool food.
Really?
And on my mom's side of the family, we used to have an aunt, Aunt Sylvia, my mom's sister. And for a while when we were kids, we had a little apartment in the house we lived in, and she lived there. And I just have this really cool memory of waking up one day and smelling like cinnamon rolls. And she made these like cinnamon rolls. And I mean, I knew you were going to do that. I actually heard you. And when I was preparing the speech, I heard you doing that.
It's one of my favorite things on the planet.
Cinnamon rolls are like so good. And she made these for breakfast for us. And granted, it's not nutritious and I wouldn't eat them for breakfast now. But, you know, when you're a 7-8 year old kid, whatever I was.
36. Whatever.
What's better than that, man? Those fresh, hot cinnamon rolls, man.
No, okay, what?
Making it, okay, so that's my special memories. They're about two of my favorite aunts and my favorite foods.
Cinnamon rolls.
Ugh.
You're distracting me.
Ugh.
All right, my memory is actually of two people, but it was at the same time. I was, I don't even know how old I was, but my parents had gone away for some reason or other, and I was being babysat at my aunt's house.
It was probably their gambling habit. They used to go to Vegas quite a bit, didn't they?
Yeah, that's them. Actually, no, they're spies. They were on a mission.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
That's right. So I was at my aunt's house, and I was staying there, and...
It's not a tumor. Wrong
You're
film.
Killing me. But my grandfather, my dad's dad, he died in 79, so it must have been before then. He was there with his daughter, my aunt, Aunt Babe. That's her name.
I won't make a pig joke.
No. Her real name is Rose, but she was the youngest of the family, so they called her Babe. So, anyways, I was there with the two of them, and I went to church that morning, and they had me standing up. I remember standing up on one of the beds in their house, and the both of them were getting me ready. They were sort of primping me, putting my shirt on, and getting me all set. And I went to church with my grandfather. It was pretty cool. He had a big old Chevy, and he had like one of the statues of the Virgin Mary on his dashboard. It was great.
Well, my aunts and uncles had that too. Yeah. That was pretty common actually for Roman Catholics.
And he used to smoke a cigar all the time. He always had a cigar. Well, not in church, but he had he always had a cigar going. Yep.
Well, that's cool. Question number three, favorite game as a child. Well, when we were young, I know this is going to sound lame and every kid plays it, but hide and seek. We used to just play that throughout the neighborhood.
Do you hear
you
that?
Know what I mean?
Do you hear that? Wait,
no.
You hear that?
No.
It's thunder and you're stealing mine.
Oh, okay. Hide and seek. We played it like crazy. We'd get the whole block involved. You know, there weren't a lot of kids, but we'd range around the whole block. And then, despite the what I am today and who I am today, we played war. We used to play a lot of war, you know. You'd, like, hold up the gun and go, bang, I got you, Timmy! And then they'd have to lay down for 20 seconds.
Right, he would have to, on his honor, die.
Yeah, exactly. And then he'd get up and then kill me later.
Yeah.
I'm
agreeing on that hide-and-seek thing.
Uh-huh.
Because we had a neighborhood that was... It wasn't a through street, so
which one are you talking about? Like Arlington?
This was in New Hartford, right? So
okay.
Arlington, there was sort of a loop, and we used to have all the neighborhood kids, and we used to be running through backyards and everything. And I remember it was always late summer, and the fireflies are out, and it's perfect.
Remember fireflies? How often do you see fireflies anymore? How damaged is our environment? Man.
I've only seen one this year.
You used to see hundreds of them in your backyards in the 70s when we were kids.
I know.
I mean, in the 80s when we were kids.
No, I was in the 70s too.
I don't know what you're talking about. Not listening. Woo!
10 of my years were in the 70s.
That would be a decade, as Mr. Kennedy would say.
That's right. But yeah, we used to run through people's yards and get yelled at by the neighbors for running through the yards. And it was like... 9 o'clock, and it was still a little bit of light showing, and we used to hide in trees.
That would be twilight time.
There you go. We used to hide in trees. We used to hide in people's garages. We used to hide under people's cars. Everywhere. It was the best.
And if you were a Scottish soccer hooligan,
we were hiding inside the body of a pig.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds uncomfortable. You'd be surprised. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Okay, question number four, memorable trip. Well, we used to take a lot of trips. My dad is Clark Griswold. So we'd
family truckster.
We'd get in the car and, you know, we never flew anywhere. God forbid you get there in a quick amount of time so you can actually enjoy your destination. We drove everywhere. And I guess I have two. I'm sort of a fan of colonial American history. So in 1976, we went to Boston.
I thought you were going to say Plymouth Rock.
I have been to there too, and it might have been on that same trip actually. Really? But I have seen Plymouth Rock, yeah. But Boston, 1976, you know, hanging around
1776, you went
hanging
there?
Around what was it, the North End, you know, Paul Revere's place.
That's right,
the old North Church. I guess it would be the North End because right. It's not the old South Church. It's
I didn't
the
know
old
Paul
North
Revere
Church.
Was Italian. That's the Italian section of Boston now, and in fact it's
very
really...
very much. You get good cannoli up there, man.
Oh, you're killing me. Anyways, first cinnamon rolls, now cannoli.
No.
But
I can't, have cannoli though because of the cheese. But
well, I can.
I can think. I know. Enjoy. Have one for me.
Enjoy the thought. But right, yeah, the North End is great because Paul Revere's path is even. They have a red brick going through.
You
the
walk
entire
around
city.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's awesome.
It's cool. So that was kind of fun being a fan of colonial American history. I mean, a lot of people get into the Civil War. I'm sort of a bigger fan of the history of the colonial period. I don't know why. Maybe it's the whole Revolution thing. But
I'm into the Gulf War thing.
Yep. You collect the cards. You got a Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, but I took penicillin, cleared up.
Well, you know, they got a cream for that. I have a second one here too, and this was sort of interesting because this is the farthest we'd ever driven on a trip, and 2 years in a row we went from New York to Seattle, where my brother Joe lives, and we were there in 82 or 83, a month after St. Helens blew. So that baby was still steaming. I mean it. You could
stinking
mountain. Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, I mean. Anybody who had watched the news at that time, you know, had images of just snow shovels of ash that they had to move. It really wasn't like that.
The sky was darkened and everything.
It probably was the closer you got to the mountain, but, you know, it was a dusting, you know, it was a mild dusting, you know. But I mean, the volume of ash it put out was still huge.
Sure.
And it distributed it over hundreds of square miles. And I remember seeing a bumper sticker that said, "Don't come to Washington. Washington will come to you." That was one of the funniest things I remember from that trip. And just going that far and driving cross country was cool because the Cascade Mountains and that area of the Northwest is really, really quite breathtaking. It's really something to see. You should go up there, even though Seattle's traffic is worse than LA's right now. There you go.
Yeah, and I was in Seattle not too long ago. And
oh, that's right. You flew.
Yeah, we flew over Mount St. Helens, which was
don't do
amazing.
That. Yeah.
You see this huge crater, and you can still to this day see the debris, the slide of all the rock and everything.
Mount St. Helens is a lovely mountain, too. It's one of those like perfect sort of like
upside
down Vs, you know, like Mount Fuji or something, or Mount, you know, they just look like a perfect silhouetted mountain from a distance with the snow cap, which
and then
is
the side
melting.
Of it just blew right off.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about Mount Rainier, rather.
Oh, Rainier. Yeah. And I got pictures of that one.
Yep, very stunning, very breathtaking. Want to go back?
Yep. So my trip as a kid was actually several trips over the course of several years. We had a camp up in the Adirondacks.
Timothy Leary.
Yes, we used to drop acid. We used to go to the strawberry fields. No, we went to the Adirondacks up at White Lake.
That's north of where we are right now.
That's right. And it is fairly pristine. Well, it was then fairly pristine. And White Lake was one of the cleanest lakes in the country. And we had a little camp there. And we had a little piece of beach, too, that you could just walk right onto the water. We had a boathouse. And it was just an amazing place to be. Every time we went up there.
The bourgeois Tallarico's.
It wasn't like that. I mean, Sean Connery had his camp right next to ours, but, and that's not a joke.
Did he really?
He did. He sold his camp right before,
they heard you were coming.
Before I was born. So I didn't get to meet him, but my parents met him. At least that's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like a Dago bringing a knife to a gunfight?
Trebek. So anyways, it's,
That was a line from, The Untouchables, by the way. I was not casting insults on the Italians.
Well, at least we got that straight, that you would never insult an Italian.
Right.
But yeah, we used to go to the camp fairly often, and I always used to remember we'd go up there, and it was just the coolest place in the world. Pine needles everywhere.
Smells so good. Mm,
right.
Love and that pine.
There was a seaplane that always used to land right on the water right in front of us, and it was just a great place to sleep. We had a big old field stone fireplace. We used to go swimming and then hang out in front of the fireplace and dry off. Just an amazing
place. The Adirondacks are really cool. Yeah. I want to get up there and do some biking.
Yeah, that would be cool. Just don't get run over by a bear.
In and around Placid. Yeah. Climb some of those mountains.
And we actually did have to, at the end of the summer, we'd have to close up the camp and make sure that no wildlife got in, because occasionally the wildlife did like to get in, like raccoons and stuff.
They did, yep. So there you go, the memory meme.
Memory meme.
And next week, for all of those who want to participate, we're going to be talking about Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is Rich's late homework. And right.
You get one letter grade off.
What are we drinking today anyway?
The latest Ripple is Rodney Strong. It's a 2002 Cabernet, but I swear it doesn't taste anything like a cab.
It's very mild.
It's more like a Pinot Noir.
It's like a Pinot Noir. Yeah. It's not bad, but it's not as bold as the cabs John and I we prefer typically.
And I'm surprised because it's an 02. But yeah, it's pretty good.
We've got some really good nice wine coming. A friend of mine who works at one of the music stores, actually the guy who sold me this.
He's pointing to a black box.
And this with like lights.
He's pointing to another black box. It's lighting.
He's a collector. This guy, Rich H., is a collector, and he just bought a couple of cases of a South American cab called Kaken, I think it's called. Hmm. And he's like, I'll send you a couple. You're good to me, Rich.
Hey,
his name's Rich and my name's Rich.
You know, you sure he's not an imaginary friend?
When he gets back from Hawaii, he's going to send me a couple of bottles. So, early September.
Wow. You know, free wine is always good.
So, we got another tune. This one is from the Asylum Street Spankers.
We have played them several times. But this one's pretty good.
This is a fun song. What's it called?
My Favorite Record.
Let's check it out.
Since I brought it home from the store, it's been played a million times or more. Oh, that's my favorite record.
How much you pay for that thing?
Nothing else can cure my ills. Uh-huh. It gets me hot, gives me chills.
Got it.
Nice going.
You remember the days of vinyl when records could do that? You know?
Yeah.
I guess I've heard CD skip too, but it's got a different feel to it. It's got that chirp kind of sound attached to it. And
what was your favorite record? What was your first record? Let's go back to this memory.
Not admitting what the first record. Actually, some of the first records I ever bought, believe it or not, were Partridge Family records.
Partridge Family?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's you're brave.
Yeah,
I
know, but I've got a worse one. You ready? I remember being a youngster and going to Phase Drugs, like when drugstores drugstores had record sections, and all these different kinds of stores had record sections. It was great. Vinyl, analog, we love it. phase drugs. And this one's even worse because I know lots of people who love the Partridge Family, you know, and who are like really cool people and are into really good music. But I bought The Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together, on vinyl.
I thought you were going to say Muskrat Love.
It was on there. I bought the LP. So Love Will Keep Us Together and Muskrat Love were on there.
Wait, my first record was actually given to me by my brother. Thin Lizzy.
Mm.
Breakout.
There you go. We talked about
the boys are back in town.
Yep. And since then, I've got all kinds of vinyl, most of which I will admit to.
Even pants. Vinyl pants.
Yes. So on Friday, I got to see an interesting movie called Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor. It's directed by Robert Altman. It says here it's a 2005 film, but I see it listed as 2006 everywhere else.
Yeah, I think it was released in 06.
Yeah, and 105 minutes in. This movie is kind of exactly what you think it would be. I'm not sure how I can talk about this film, but it's as if they were taping an episode or doing an episode of A Prairie Home Companion, a live radio, old-fashioned kind of radio broadcast, which is going on now.
It's a real show.
Yeah, it's a real show that they do like radio shows were done in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, just old school radio drama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with bands and live commercials just spoken by the narrator or the announcer. And
sound effects.
Yeah, the live sound effects guy with the little creaky door mm-hmm. and all of those great things. And the film is kind of about the last episode of A Prairie Home Companion before some big rich guy bought the radio station and is, you know, killing the show. So the movie actually kind of cuts between what's going on stage and what's going on backstage. So there's, you know, they'll cut from people singing and playing on the stage to conversations that are happening backstage. And again, it's exactly what you think it to be. It's kind of hard to describe the plot because there's not a lot of plot. It's just kind of an episode of A Prairie Home Companion. And there's a lot of music and a lot of entertainment, you know, vaudeville style entertainment.
And it's almost like a perfect Altman film because he does those films where it's not like a narrative start to finish where you
it
have
totally
a lot,
isn't.
A lot of people are coming into conversations halfway through and that kind of stuff.
This film is just filled with real actors and actresses. I mean, you know, not just the fake ones.
Is there anything but a fake actress or actor?
Well, that's pretty true. But I'm just going to go down the list of the ones we all know. Woody Harrelson, Tommy Lee Jones, Garrison Keillor, Kevin Kline, Lindsay Lohan, Virginia Madsen, John C. Reilly. What a talent. Maya Rudolph, Saturday Night Live, Meryl Streep, the first lady of American
She's
theater,
a hack.
And Lily Tomlin. And Meryl Streep and Lily Tomlin play like these singing sisters, and Woody Harrelson and John C. Reilly play Lefty and
Dusty,
the sort of crooning cowboys, kind of like Roy Rogers or guys
Dale
kind
Evans.
Of Dale Evans and guys, Gene Autry, you know, guys mm-hmm. from the 30s and 40s, really.
Yep.
And they sing some really funny music, like I'll Give You Some Moonshine If You Show Me Your Jugs, you know, stuff like that. I mean,
well,
you know.
The thing about this film, which I think if nobody's heard about The Prairie Home Companion before, is that these are real characters from the radio show.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
actually going on right now. Garrison yeah. Keillor does this every Saturday on NPR.
It's brilliant.
And he usually plays, along with some of the other regular characters, all of these characters. But what they did for the film was they had these other actors come in and take on these roles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, there are other players on there. There are other players on Prairie Home Companion. Right,
but Garrison Keillor plays one of the cowboys. He plays this detective named
he's
Guy
pretty
Noir.
He's pretty multifaceted, multi-talented. He sings and...
he wrote the screenplay for
this. Yeah, absolutely he did. And it's just a wonderful piece of work. I was expecting something a little more. I was expecting to laugh more. And there were jokes that people in the theater were laughing out loud at that I didn't laugh at all. But what are you going to do?
Well, you know? You've got a screw loose.
Well, yeah. But definitely a winner. Definitely check it out. And it definitely gets my recommendation. It gets a thumb, some sort of finger. And for Ken, it's called Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the radio show. I listen to it all the time.
What? Oh, yeah.
I'm just throwing Rich the bird. I gave him a finger myself.
Wow.
I think that's a show.
I think we're done. Hell, yeah.
That's it, dog.
Yep, another one in the can, as they say.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I'm just... We're just like double entendre everywhere.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all of our listeners, especially Chris this time, because she gave me some lovely garlic.
Garlic. It wasn't actually buds of garlic. It was just little pills. It's like the Russian penicillin.
No, this is real garlic.
And oh,
from
was
what
it?
I'm, from
oh,
what okay. I'm told, this is from an actual garden.
Yep, she's like a mini farmer.
She's a tiny little person. Little farmer.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is Rich Wilgus.
And still John.
He's still John. Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Send us all sorts of stuff. You can even send more garlic at feedback at bloodyveg.com.
And check out the forum, bloodyveg.com/forum. Argue with John about the Hitchhiker's Guide, all kinds of stuff. And remember, you're not listening to a Prairie Home Companion. You're listening to VIB.